Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult. And that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hello and welcome back to the Roker Report Extra podcast. I'm doing this off a phone this week. It seems that my laptop has well and truly gone the distance, but nonetheless, we've powered on and we've got a really special guest this week. Normally we have a fan. We have got one of those, but we don't. We rarely get a chairman on the show unless it's ours. And I've got Andy Hall, chairman of Accrington Stanley. How are you doing, Andy? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm great. How are you?
Looking forward to Saturday. Are you?
I am. I can't wait, in fact.
I heard it's the biggest crowd you've ever had. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. By far. To some tune, really. Stadium's only just been increased to all 5,500. Sorry, 5,400. And every ticket sold. So that's fabulous for us.
Is it officially the smallest ground in the Football League?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is, to be honest. There is one smaller. It might be Wimbledon or somewhere like that, but there's definitely one smaller. So at 5,400, I'm proud of the extra four. Mind you, we used to say it were 5,060, but you couldn't have got them in with your shoe on. I don't know. They must have bribed the people that worked out how to put how many people you could get in the stadium, because we had the stands recounted, rechecked and recalibrated with safety, and we couldn't get that many in. So we expected our 5,600, but in reality now we're back to 5,400.
And it's been quite a jump up the leagues though, hasn't it, to be fair? So I suppose it's not that surprising that it's one of the smaller ones, but I'm really looking forward to it. Not in a way that I'm looking forward to going to a smaller ground and terraces and stuff like that. It's just like, it for me, it's back to the days of when I was growing up in like the mid-90s and for the Fulwell end. And I know we were like nearly 20,000, but I've heard some really good things. I've never heard anyone come back and say they had a bad time at Accrington Stanley. And I'm supposed you're biased, but I'm looking forward to having like a bigger weight end.
Well, you've got 2,600, and we've 2,800 at the place, and it is a throwback, is Accrington, and we don't want to lose that. We have a charm about us. You know, some people would say it's the facilities aren't that great, whereas we think they're really good. You know, you don't have to have we northern folk. You don't have to have things of absolute beauty and giant stadium to have a great time. So we're really welcoming folk, and people enjoy coming.
I mean, as soon as that one came out, you know, you look at like certain fixtures and for your away days, and because we've plummeted so fast, you know, admittedly, we don't know, or we're starting to learn now, but we didn't know a great deal about League One at the time when we did get relegated. And I think for me, Accrington was one of the stadiums that I immediately looked at, because it was like, we've never been to grounds like this before, and not in my lifetime anyway. I mean, we have before, but it's what football's about, isn't it? It's like, it seems like a bit more fun. Everyone's really looking forward to Saturday. It doesn't matter what league it's in, or how big the stadium is. Everyone's really excited for Saturday.
Well, I mean, I think we're both there on ability. So
I'd agree.
You know, you've had a bad run and we've had a good run, and I hope we don't bounce off you and set off backwards, and you bounce off us and go back up. So we are going to give it a great shot. But I mean, at the end of the day, they say the league's never lie, and you're a massive club. So for a club like Accrington that only joined the EFL in what was the Football League in 2006, to be at these heady heights on the budgets we've got, and you've got to say budgets aren't as big as yours, but to be at these heady heights is fabulous. It's great for our town. It's great for our fans. It's great for our local community, and it's great for all for business around our area to bring 2,600 down from Sunderland. I mean, we had a fabulous day against Barnsley, and these for us are, you know, what would be to anybody else just a normal run-of-the-mill day. You know, we're living the dream. It's fantastic.
And to be fair, you know, you say it's been a quick plummet, and it's great for you where you're at, but at the same time, I think you're more than holding your own as a football team as well. I mean, it wasn't too long ago you were fourth or fifth off top, which is, and I mean, you're 11th at the minute, which is a great achievement considering you've just came up. I think you're doing really well, and there's a really tidy team there as well. And I think woe betide anyone that would look at the size of the stadium and how quickly you've come up and all that sort of stuff. I think you've put some teams to the sword this season, and I think you've done really well. I think any promoted team to do as well as that in the league that they've come up. But are you still looking towards promotion, or would you be happy where you're at the moment come the end of the season?
I'd be happy.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever happens this season, we're finishing a better position than last season. So we're going in the right direction. But I'd be happy mid-table, but I don't think that's where we'll finish up. I think we will finish higher. I mean, we've lost a lot of points this year through lack of experience and maybe not having that cutting edge just as much, but we created massive chances. We're a fabulously tight-knit squad, a great management team, and the morale in the place is on fire. You know, the morale around the area is great, and everybody be looking forward to it. It'd be a massive atmosphere, and you know, we're not where we are through luck with it. We're where we are through graft.
You were touching before on the spirit around the place. Now, from the opposite side, rewind 7 months ago, I think we were probably the polar opposite. Stuart Donalds obviously came in, and so far he's done a really terrific job in reigniting that spirit. And what was quite interested in from your perspective in Accrington, what sort of, I don't want to say state, but what position was the club in when you took it over, and how do you begin to build that kind of mentality where there's just so much community and spirit that gets you through the leagues?
When I joined Accrington, I was a lot luckier than Stuart, insofar as we came from such a low place in terms of not being able to pay the water bills and electric bills and council rates and not paying the wages and no beer and no pies. And so we were in such a poor position that whatever I did had to improve it. So I was fortunate in that. It weren't a deliberate plan, that. But I was fortunate in that respect that by slowly improving it, we've managed to get morale going in the right direction. Now, if you start at a club like Sunderland, you've got to kind of get it right. Otherwise, morale can keep going the wrong way, you know, because you're a long way off bottom. In fact, you're a Premiership club in waiting as far as I can see. So Stuart's got himself a really fantastic club, and he's got something to work with, and I think he's going to do a great job. He's been in communication with fans, and it's a place that I have to be in touch with the local community and the fans, because you know, we've got to tell them what we're doing and what we're trying to do and what the club's about, what it means, you know, why we're doing what we're doing, and really get them involved. And you don't get them involved if you don't tell them why you're doing things and what you're doing and how you're doing it, and give them the opportunity to criticise or give them the opportunity to applaud. I've always found that if you explain to people what you're trying to do and how you're trying to do it, you know, they give you a benefit of doubt if things go slightly off path, and you can talk to them again and say, look, that didn't work, let's move on and do something else and carry on along the road. So you know, I like that in Sunderland now. I think when things are going bad, it's always tempting to ignore the fans and not talk to them, because they haven't really got a lot of good things to say to you, and it can get tiring. So when things are going bad, it's all too easy to you know, kind of go off radar. And I hope I don't do that. And it's great to see that Stuart's not doing that up there.
I was saying before about, you know, this is an extra podcast and you're the first chairman we've had from another club, but it's weird. We've had our chairman on 5 times in the studio. And I think that there is a big thing when you have the figurehead of the club, you know, such as yourself at Accrington, Stuart at Sunderland, communicating with the fans and being honest. And you touched on something that was really bang on before. I think you said people will give you the benefit of the doubt if you're open and you're honest about things, and I think that's really where Stuart Donald is winning Sunderland over. I mean, it wasn't so long ago Charlie Methven said something a little bit untoward. He called fans who watch games in the pub parasites, and everyone obviously reacted to that not in the best way, because, you know, when you're from the northeast, sometimes you just,
quite right too.
You
don't react properly with that is the wrong thing.
I thought so too. But you know, he came out and he said I was wrong. He said totally wrong to say that. And I think a lot of the time previously we had people who wouldn't even have the opportunity to say sorry, because you wouldn't hear what they actually think.
Well, the other thing is that little issues become big issues if you're not in contact. So when people don't understand the why, they can take the wrong impression. Before you know it, it goes around 20 people and it's going down the wrong slant. And you've a big job then to turn the story around to what it actually is, because people start not believing you. So you really got to say before you do something what you're trying to do, and then everybody knows where you're aiming. And if you get it wrong, they forgive you. You know, God loves a try, and I think fans love a try. They love to see that you've got the interests of the club at heart. So we're in a different age as well. A lot of club chairmen are from an era before social media and Twitter and podcasts and all the rest of it. And so any discussion with fans are probably through newspaper and that sort of media, or writing in programs and what have you. And the world's a lot quicker now, so things go bad quicker and things go good quicker. If you can get that message across and be open and honest, you know, if you've got anything to hide, then don't do it. But if your motives are pure, then by all means speak to everybody involved.
And how do you feel? I mean, from the outside looking in, I assume you've seen our downfall, and you've seen the previous regime that we had in Ellis Short. And obviously Stuart came in from Eastleigh, which is obviously a club below both of us, and he came to Sunderland, which is a vastly different club and a vastly different setup. But have you been impressed with how he's gone about the club, and is that what you expected when he took over?
I have, and I feel sorry for Ellis Short and his predecessors. I mean, what happens with a football club when you start going down through the leagues? You start having to cut your costs, and cutting costs cuts morale. Whichever, you can't cut costs and not affect morale. So you're cutting costs, and then your revenue's falling, and fans are losing interest, and your revenue's falling further. So you cut them further. It becomes a downward self-fulfilling spiral, and so that break that Stuart got when Stuart took over gives you a floor from which you can start to build from, I think that's great. You know, you've got a great club, and you've got everything you need now. You're not massively in debt. You've got everything you need now to build back to the Premier League status, and to a smaller degree, that's what we had at Accrington. We had we had exactly the same issue where things had got that bad. We couldn't pay wages. We weren't paying wages. And this is no disrespect to anybody that went before me. They too went into a similar situation whereby, you know, people start losing interest. You see things going wrong. When I started, you turn the sprinklers on at half time. You couldn't use the toilets. Well, you could use them once, and then that were it. You couldn't wash your hands, but the household domestic supply.
I hope you fixed them for Saturday, mind.
Well, they've been fixed, and we're going a long way. We're coming a long way then. And I'll be honest, that pleases everybody, because you see that we're not building a big fancy stadium that'd be befitting a Premier League like you've got. You know, we are still focusing on the basics, as you'll see when you come down. We're focusing on getting the basic infrastructure. You know, against Wimbledon in playoffs a couple of years ago, lights went out in the middle of the match because we have a domestic supply. So somebody comes off, we're in extra time, somebody comes off and switches shower on, and floodlights go off because it's electric shower with no gas.
I'm loving hearing this. I love this kind of stuff. For me, and maybe it's because of where I've come from as a fan, but from the Premier League and the money and the advertisement and the expensive food, it just, like, my football club, and maybe it's because I'm from the north, but my football club feels like my family, and I think everyone at Sunderland feels like that. And it's, for a long time, it's felt like an enemy. And I think, so when you hear this kind of stuff, and it feels like it's a thing when you're all together, I mean, I live in Scotland, so Scottish football has many random things that happen all the time. Yeah. That really is like a community-based club. But when you're saying that to me, it does make you laugh. But at the same time, I bet you fixed that all that stuff together. Do you know what I mean? And that makes you feel like you're part of something, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, we do, and fans are coming in every week and helping out, and it's still a community club, and people have to remember that all these clubs are founded by fans and community in first place, and they need to remember where they're from and where they belong and why they mean so much to the community, you know. I'm probably boring people when I'm saying a lot of high streets are dying and pubs are being shut and whatever, and it's a massive social interaction point as a football club now. When there's no game on a Saturday, it's a bit boring. You don't know, you're twiddling your thumbs.
If you're on Saturday with the pubs with us lot, that's one thing I can guarantee you. Is there any you'd recommend? Any pubs you'd recommend we should go to?
Well, there's a few good ones. There's Crown next to Ground. There's three or four around Ground, and I'm not picking one and then missing one out. But there's three or four around Ground that are good. We'll have a marquee up with a band on where you can get a pint or two. You know, we'll have bars open all around Ground, and everybody's welcome. So you know, I don't think they'll be stuck for somewhere to have a pint. I mean, we're not going to spoil you. You won't be getting fancy meals or anything. You'll be on pie or a burger and a pint, and that's your lot, and a cup of tea or something like that. But
sounds good to
you'll
me.
Have a great time.
And the only thing we've discussed this already, the only thing that's frustrating me, what is going on with these trains?
Oh, it drives me mad. Obviously, they're awful. It drives me mad. It's like a deliberate attempt to ruin Saturdays. It's all the time we had against Barnsley. And, I can't for life in me understand why they can't just get a train running. You know, the only job they have to do is run a train, and they never seem to manage to do it. It drives me mad. And I feel sorry for travelling fans. It just makes life so much harder. That it ends up being planes, trains and automobiles instead of just a straightforward. Get on and have a couple of tins and enjoy a game and get on and go home. So it just drives me mad. I'm not in charge at trains. If I was, it would be a lot of trouble. I can guarantee you that. I'm sad for fans that are put out by it.
Because we have to go to Blackburn from Preston or Manchester and then get a bus. But we only have to realistically give ourselves an extra hour to get home, don't we? Am I right in saying that?
Listen, I'm not being held responsible for that. I'd like to think so, I've come up Manchester to Worley train, a little town near Accrington, and that stopped at Blackburn, and they've said it's broke down and you've had to get off and get a taxi home. So they're just unreliable. You know, you'd never... It's virtually... They're in today goes by where somebody tells me that trains aren't running right around here. Well, there's no worse. But I mean, one of your guys, a guy called Andy Flashman, Andy Flatman, sorry, Flashman. My God, he won't thank me for that. A guy called Andy Flatman. He helped build our stand, the new stand that you lads will be in, and lasses. Our new all seater stand. He helped build it, so he did all the concrete that you'll be walking on, and all the. So it's a Sunderland guy that did it.
He's done it well.
He's done a great job. Yeah, he always does a great job, in fairness. He's done a lot of work for us. He runs his own business, so he'll be down with all his mates. And I mean, we're all northern folks, so it's going to be a good day in any case. And we're all on a pint. I'm having a pint and having a good day, and which is why I wanted to go to football in the first place.
Yeah.
I never wanted to own a club, but now I've got one. I'm going to enjoy it.
That's one thing I'm interested in, because, I mean, there's two things, obviously. I don't know whether you've ever Googled yourself, but the two options that come up are talking about, obviously, you taking over the club, which is a big thing. But one thing before we go on to that, what was this thing with McDonald's?
Oh, well, when we have finished a match, we get Domino's pizzas and stuff like that, or a bottle of full fat Coke and all that of bus coming.
Why not?
Whether we win or lose, because I think it's a case of getting some cheap energy on for us. You know, there's none of this Michelin three course meals on bus. It's just get what you want then. So lads will get off bus, and I'll if I've got some money in my pocket, I'll say, go and get a couple of bottles of Prosecco. Then me and John will have a drink on the way home. And so they'll get off, and some will go to McDonald's, some will go and get a pizza, some will go and get whatever they get, the LucasAids and all the rest of it. And they'll come back with two bottles of Prosecco. So I'll give them 200 quid, and I usually get £26.30 back off Sean McConville. So you know, and it is whether we've won or not, but it's only whenever we're away, because that's the only time we're on bus. We set off. There's another story there, by the way. Anyway, so we get to this. I tweet out, why does Sean Harvey only ever give me £26.30? The change always comes to £26.30 out of 200 quid. You know, is this down to luck, or is it down to management? You know, there are probably only two McDonald's bought out of it. But anyhow, EFL got onto it and said I were overpaying. It weren't a stipulated bonus in players' contracts. So
for food?
For food, yeah. What? And so they sent me a letter. And it were hard to believe, but strictly speaking, if you give them a burger, you've got to put it as a bonus in the contract. Now, and I don't always do it, and when I do it, it's when I feel like it, and it's whether they win, lose, or draw, and I explain that. And eventually they came round, and at the EFL Awards, I were presented with a McDonald's for my dinner while everybody else were on steak, which I didn't disagree with. I didn't mind. I thought it was fine. But it seemed to take off. The whole thing seemed to take off, and that, you know, social media's like that. It can go mad, can't it?
Yeah, it can, and as you said before, it can be good, it can be bad, but it certainly seems to be working in favour for yourself and Accrington, and so far Sunderland and Stuart Donald as well. Now, you mentioned before, and I think you've kind of alluded to a few things that are making me think maybe why, but what made you buy Accrington Stanley in the first place?
Well, it was never in my plan to own a football club, but it started. I sponsored it because it was struggling, and I sponsored it £200,000 over 3 years to name the stadium and the shirt, and that's why we ended up being on stadium and the shirt in first place. And I went at first friendly, and I got one pint, and then the bar ran out of beer, and I said, well, I want another pint. I'm here with my lad, and Saturday afternoon we'll want a few pints and watch a match, and it turned out they hadn't got any beer because they hadn't paid the bills. And I'm not talking, when I say no beer, I mean it were like the Gobi Desert. There weren't a drink anywhere in the place. They'd everybody had took all optics had been emptied and wine and everything had gone, and they genuinely couldn't pay. And that's not through, you know, these guys were putting every penny. Some guys put all their the kids in Everton's in. They did everything to keep the club going. So don't ever think that that's a disrespectful thing, because it's not. Yep. Because it's through their efforts that they kept it going. Anyway, the chairman then, Peter Mars, and his joint chairman now, he came up and said, look, Andy, can you is there anything you can do? I can't pay wages, and I don't know how long I can go on. I've put every penny in I've got, and it's still not enough. Can you help me? We can't pay wages. So over a day or two, I rang Peter and I said, look, I'll put some money in and pay this month's wages, and then I'll look at it over a month, and if I fancy doing it, then I'll do it, and if I don't, you can consider the money that I put in a gift. And I did that because I couldn't possibly pay it back in any case. So there's no point loaning money to football clubs that have none. You know, it was prolonged the agony. I put that in, and then over the month, I looked at it, I put my accountants in to look at the financials that were horrendous, and I went in and looked at the club as an entity, and I got to meet the community trust, the academy, the supporters club, and the first team, and the managers, it does so much good for the town. It's a founding member of Football League, and it does so much good. It interacts with 15,000 people. It looks after kids from 2-year-old learning to kick the first ball right through to disabled sports and, walking football at the other end, and probably my end. So it does so much in town. It deals with drug health awareness and sexual health awareness and all host of things that... You know, would just disappear if Accrington Stanley disappeared. And apart from that, you've got a club that were there when Queen Victoria were alive, disappearing off face of earth. You know, and for me, it became the cost of it became secondary to the requirement to save it as a and keep it as an asset for the town. So the way I look at my job of my MO is to make it so that it's still solvent in 50 years when I'm dust blown in the wind. You know, that's why we won't overdo it. We're just going to give it great facilities, basic facilities, low overhead facilities, and things that it can generate cash out to keep it going, whatever league it's in, you know, whether it's in Championship, Premiership, or non-league, or wherever it finds itself in the next 50 years. So that's a job that I took on. Now, I were told or advised against it by my accountants, lawyers, my wife, my kids. Everybody said, whatever you do, don't do it. It's a road to ruin. It's a disaster. The downside of not doing it was just, you know, it just felt so bad to, you know, that I could possibly help to just leave it. So I said, look, I'm doing it. And in fairness to everybody, when I said I'm doing it, they all got behind me. So I was really fortunate in that respect. You know, they soon said, look, okay, if you're doing it, we'll muck in. And, you know, there's a lot of arguments going forward from then because there were so many issues that needed sorting out. But we're past that now. We're past the saving its life, and we're into the growing it, you know, growing the club now. So, you know, it's well publicised that we give 1,200 shirts to every eight-year-old every year. So everybody that gets to year three at all the schools, 40 schools, it's 1,200 shirts, get a free first-team shirt off us every year. And we've done it twice now, and we're going to keep doing it year in, year out, so that all the kids in the town start to get an affinity. I don't understand that Accrington's there because the club had got that far, that kind of behind in terms of cash, and it couldn't really interact with community properly. You know, it had stopped doing all the things that it were good at because we're in survival mode. So now we've got kids, you know, we're giving shirts to school kids, and in fairness, some of the parents coming up to me on match day and said, look, you've cost me 100 quid since you give my child that shirt. She's got me coming every week, so it is working. And we're growing it as a club into a nice little club, you know, and I think we're a great club. I don't see us as a little club. I see us as a fantastic you know, our club relative to our town size. So I think we've about 35,000 population, and we'll have 5,400 on Saturday. So we're 2,800, which is probably about 8% of population.
Yeah, which is not bad at all. And you've got to have the interest with that, and you've got to have the community buy-in. And I think what you're doing, I think, is bang on. I think, you know, I remember when I was growing up, the reason I love Sunderland is because of nostalgia. When I was young, it was kind of born into me. I think kids don't really get that these days, and you're right in what you're saying. You wouldn't have had the finances maybe to get out into the community. And I think, as you said, you know, clubs like ourselves and Accrington as well, like, you are a community club. That's what you base yourself on. I think that's the north, isn't it? That's just the way we are.
It is. I mean, Sunderland's a great place. I know a lot of people up there. You know, in fact, when we come up to your place, I'm probably going to be stopping up there and going to have a few pints in town with my mates.
I can recommend because, many good places.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what we like. It's great. It's great up there, and it's great around here. You know, everybody, it is Northern life. And, you know, as I say, bring your big coat, but I don't need to say that much to you guys up there because, nope. You know, if anybody is used to not needing a big coat, it's you guys. So. I mean, we are what we are, and I, you know, I'm going back to that. Just for say, going back to that burger. Anyway, we've gone down. We've played. I think we played Northampton, and all lads get off bus, and I've got my little lad on bus. I say little lad, about 14, I think you were then.
Yeah.
And they've gone off, and they've actually gone each shop. Have lads, and my son's gone and got a McDonald's. Anyway. So lads have all got up bus, and I'm sat having a bottle of Prosecco with Corley, and we're driving down the road up bus singing songs because I think we'd won. So we're singing songs up over a bottle of Prosecco, radio, and my phone rings, and I looked at it, and it's my son. So I turned it off because he's one of them that would ring you from upstairs at home, and You know, he can't bother to come downstairs. So I thought, he's not back at us, what's he doing? Anyway, it happens about three or four times, his phone ringing, and when I finally picked it up, he was 20 miles away, still in Northampton, and we had to turn team bus back and get him. So I lost my own son as a result of football. And so you pay a big price.
Yeah, you do. Oh, losing family members is quite a huge price, mate. Most definitely.
You don't get in well with wife.
So moving on to the match, you won last night, didn't you? Beat Lincoln on penalties, is that right?
We did, yeah. We did.
So we're both into the next round of the Chequered trade, but I don't want you to pick any favourites, but based on current form, who do the Sunderland fans need to watch out for on Saturday?
Well, obviously you've got Zanzala that's on fire, but you've got Jordan Clark and Sean McConville. Got a couple of lads from Newcastle in Dan Barlasser.
Oh, you can't swear on this podcast.
And he's great. We've got Billy Key. I'll be honest. We've got some great names in our squad. I'm trying to think of somebody that I've told you not to worry about, and I can't.
Yeah.
Because you know we're fairly tidy all round. On his day, I mean, I think on Saturday it's going to be a fair game.
No, I think so too.
I don't think it's going to be a walkover for us anyhow, but I don't think it'll be perhaps as easy as the stats would say for yourselves. I think we'll give you a fair game. I'm hoping so.
Yeah, no, there's not been many games this season that have been easy. As much as we've only lost one on paper, like there's been a lot of games that have been tough. They've all been tough slogs, and I think that's what this league is. I think we're just quite lucky that we've managed to grind something out in games like Walsall the other week, went down to 10 men and pulling something back. But that's all about team spirit, not quality, I think, you know. So,
well, team spirit and your budget are the two things that are, you know, you add them together and it equals your available resources. It's not just about money, and it's not just about team spirit, you know, between them. And we have masses of team spirit. And a little bit of money, you'll probably have a bit more money and team spirit as well, and that's going to be the judge. And on the day, you know, people don't like coming to Accrington. Pitch slopes a bit, and changing rooms aren't particularly nice. Not got around to doing them up yet because there's bigger priorities. You know, we've got 5,400 people to look after first.
Of course.
Famously, Roy Hodgson wouldn't let his West Brom team get changed in our changing rooms. He took them to a local hotel and got them to get changed there.
Which,
well, it's just his changing rooms aren't very clever, so he said, "I'm not changing there," which were funny. And then Tony Pulis came with West Brom a few years later, and he said, "Well, it'll do him good, our Premier League to get changed there." So,
yes.
So it's two different ways of looking at it, and you know, I think it's going to be a really good game, and I know it's going to be a great atmosphere. Our atmosphere will be I have a funny feeling it'll be as good as yours up there because we have low roofs. Part of it isn't roofed, by the way, at the minute. So just remember to tell everybody to bring the big coats.
Yeah, fact.
So I like to get that in because it's I don't want them getting drowned. If I could put a roof over it by magic, I would do, but I can't. You know, doing all I can.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere, it's low roofs, and the atmosphere resounds around it. It'd be a fantastic. You know, you really love the old fashioned way of playing. You know, stewards are friendly. It's you know, they pride themselves in letters they get off people saying, you know, thanks for looking after me, and you know, they're more likely to shake your hand and say, "How are you?" than they are to push you around like you get at some places, and you know, it reduces tension.
It does. Are you ready for any pitch invasions though after us the other week?
Well, the important thing to me, believe it or not, and it is that everybody has a great day and it's a safe day. You know, we have you're judged by police on really the amount of aggro you give over a season, so they have a league table, as it were. So they give you points for your goodness or your badness. And that's called the goodness badness scale. I've just invented that, by the way. So if you're fairly bad fans,
good name, catch on.
If you're always fans that are causing trouble and causing aggro, you get a bad score. And if you're good, if you don't have much aggro, you get a good score. So we have a really good score, and that allows our fans to mix with your fans. So outside the ground, we can all mix and have a beer together like we did with Barnes, and it's no problem. And that's how we want it. And end the game, win, lose, or draw, we just shake hands and say, look, it's been fantastic. You know, it's a dream for us, and hopefully it's something that you might never repeat it. You know, it might be another 100 years before you get here again, 120 years or whatever it were. I know it was Victorian times when we last played you.
Yeah, so, it was a little while ago. I searched it before. It was quite a while ago, yes.
Well, I mean, so it is a truly unique moment, and you know, I want us to think that we've all been blessed with something special in this match, and you know, we can go away, take it away, and think, well, you know, chances are we might not play each other for another in anybody's lifetime again. You never know. So to really make most of it, and I just have a fantastic day. We'll put a band on, and we'll all get singing and have a few pints, it'll be a great day. You know,
it's how it should be, isn't it?
Yeah, it's how it should be, and it's how I want it to be. You know, I want to keep. We've been able to give you 2,600 because of our record. You know, police have said, look, you have no aggro. We know that most of them are great, so it can be a low resource and a low ticketed in terms of police and everything else because of who we are and who you are. We know the clubs, and there's no history of any aggro or anything like that. So you know, I want to keep that, and I want to. You know, I don't want to give you only 1,000 seats because, you know, everybody's expecting trouble, which is what you get. And, you know, that's the sort of attitude you get on some matches, you know, from police and authorities. So I just want us to have a really great day. And I'll certainly be around with all Sunderland fans and our fans before and after match, having an after and having a pint. And, you know, they can say what they want to me and have a bit of fun. it's brilliant.
It will. It'll be fun. But before I let you go, I've got to do what I always do with every guest. And I know you're going to swing towards Accrington because everyone would do that. But what's your predictions on Saturday?
2-1 to us.
2-1 to you. I'll take 2-1 to us just to even it out.
All right. Well, I'm not allowed to bet on football. So I will, there'll be no money on it. It's just a friendly bet, and we'll see where we are. I mean, 2-1, I'm being generous because I don't think you're going to get any. We've got Conor Ripley, you know, from
Borough. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got a decent goalie. We've got a good back four. So no, I'm joking. I think 2-1.
I wouldn't be happy with that. Not travelling from Scotland. So I'm hoping it's my prediction. That's right. But
either way, I'll tell you now. I'll shake you on the end of it.
Yeah. Same, mate. I will do. I'll hold you to that because I heard that you buy Prosecco, so I'm definitely shaking you.
You're wrong. You can consider that a deal. Give us a shout out there.
I will do. I definitely will do, actually, mate. But it's been really nice to chat, actually. It's been really, really lovely. It's nice to speak to you. And I hate to sound like sometimes it can be patronising because sometimes it can come across like that. But I've really enjoyed League One. I've really enjoyed chatting to fans of clubs that genuinely care about their club. Like, I spoke to a Walsall fan twice last week, and he said, you know, we've got Birmingham, we've got Villa, we've got Wolves around us. If you like Walsall, you like Walsall because you like Walsall. And it's been really, really good fun. But you know what's been really nice is that I kind of forgot I was speaking to the chairman. It feels like I was speaking to a fan of the football club. And you definitely are.
I think I'm a fan before I'm a chairman. I'm only a chairman because I've nobody else to do it. We can't afford another. Listen, League One, the beauty of League One for you is that, and us for that matter, is that every game you go into, you know, you have a good chance of winning it, and it makes it more enjoyable than week after week, things getting thrown in your face and morale being low. And once you've turned that corner like you have done now, and you say you've been beat once, I've never checked your stats before again, but that sounds about right. You've been beat once this season, and you know, you're rebuilding a base to grow from, so you've a good chance of getting promoted this year. And when you do, you'll do exactly opposite to what you've done in the last few years. Your debt's been cut. You've got a new owner, a clean slate, and Stuart will no doubt keep you up to date with what he's doing. And I'd like to think this is a new way of chairman operating, so that fans do feel part of it, and they do feel like they've got some say in what goes on, rather than it being done to them. You know, everybody does things to fans rather than does things with them. I mean, we are nothing without fans, and that goes for Sunderland as well as us. You know, so we need supporters to, uh, get behind us, and we certainly need them on Saturday. We'll need them on Saturday, and to be a 12 man. And I'm sure you're only two stops away from Premier League now, and you're looking in the right direction. It sometimes it's great when you go, you know, when you finally hit the floor, because you can start rebuild from there.
Yeah, it's felt like that.
Yeah, and I think that's what you've done, in fairness, and I'm not being disrespectful
to
previous owners or anything. It's a fact that now you only fall so far, and then you set up and start building again, and that's where you are. You're fantastic area of country, northeast, brilliant, great crack, you know, really, really great area, football mad, great stadium. I mean, you were looking, Sunderland are looking to get 40,000 on Boxing Day, I'm told, support. And when I started in 2015, our total visiting fans, total fans entirely, home and away, were 37,000
for
the year.
Jeez.
That was for the year. So you'll do more in one match than we were doing in a year. And of them 37,000, 4,500 were free. They were scouts or away directors or managers or everything else that goes with it, community trust stuff and all that, carry on. So in paying guests, we had about 32,500 when I started in a year. That included cup matches and everything. So you'll see why 5,400 on Saturday represents a massive step up to us. And, you know, it's fantastic. And I really appreciate Sunderland fans, you know, getting behind it and buying the tickets, because every penny counts, as you'll see when you come down.
Yep. No, I'm pleased to do so. And I'm like I said before, I'm really looking forward to Saturday, and I hope you are as well. But I'm not going to lie. I hope you don't celebrate 3 points. I hope you have a bit of sadness with that.
Well, listen, I want to, but whatever. I'm proud of what we're doing here. I'm proud of this club. I'm proud of the effort that we're going. And I really can't wait. I'll be down there early on a Saturday. I can't wait. I'm like a child waiting for Christmas morning. This is what we, you know, this is what, it's like a big cup tie to us, effectively. It's like, you know, because the names we come across aren't Sunderland. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like winning a major round FA Cup to get a game like this, like we did against West Ham, for example. It's brilliant. And I'm, you know, you're a great club and we're a great club. We're a founding member at Football League, and we're on our way back from the wilderness. We're in his own small way, you know, not in a Sunderland way, but we're on his way back. And I'm really proud of what we're doing, and I'm proud of his little club and everybody that works in it. You know, they've done a great job, and they've all had to be, in fairness to them, they've had a bit of stick for the last 2 or 3 years, because we've had to change how we operate. We've had to do things that, you know, people that have worked for nothing for many years have had to do different things that, you know, probably irked them. You know, we've had to start being a bit more organised and a bit more professional in how we operate. And, you know, they've all knuckled down on and off the pitch, and full credit to them all. That they're a credit to me, anyway, that's for sure. I'm really proud of what we've done and what we've got.
Well, hopefully, I get to envision it all myself if the train sort themselves out for Saturday.
Yeah, but if not, if you ring me, I'll tell you when we're 1-0 up. you get stuck on that bus.
Thanks for coming on, and been really, really good crack, mate. Genuinely.
Any tap at all, and whatever happens, there's a repeating on February 16th, I think it is.
There is, yes.
So you know, we'll be up at the stadium alight, and I'll be honest, I do have an habit of going in with the away fans, so I'm not deciding what I'm going to do up there.
I'll be up in the gods, so don't.
Will it be up
jump.
In the gods? You know, that drives me mad. When you come to us, we're giving you really great seats. We believe that whatever seats we've got, that are best. After us, you get, and you go to some clubs and they stick you right in the corner, so you can't really see what's going on. And
it's not a good view.
Well, I'm aware with Stuart and tell him if there's a better view to at least give it to us. So look.
If you listen to me,
we'll look after you.
Have a good rest of the week. I'm sure we'll speak before Saturday and maybe after Saturday. Enjoy your trip up to the Stadium Light when it comes along. But thanks so much for coming on, mate. Really appreciate
that. No problem at all. Look after yourself. Take it easy.
You as well, Andy, mate. Look after yourself.
Ta-da. Bye.
Ta-da, mate.
Bye.
That was really good crack. Really enjoyed that. I hope you did as well. A little bit different getting the chairman on, wasn't it? And it's weird that it's the second chairman we've had on and the first one was ours. Let's rewind back a year, eh? Imagine getting a championship chairman coming on talking as passionately about his club and then getting Ellis Short on a podcast. Not going to happen, is it? But yeah, just another reason I'm loving League One. Brilliant. Sitting here on my bloody phone because my laptop broke, chatting to the chairman of Accrington Stanley about our game on Saturday. And I'm really buzzing for Saturday, actually. I'm really, really buzzing for it. I think it's going to be great. But thanks again for tuning in. You're probably going to hear this before the Phil Bardsley podcast comes out, which I did the other day. I really hope you enjoy that as well. Really excited to do that. I was really excited to do it today also. And I think both blokes were absolutely cracking. Bardo obviously is Bardo. And I think Andy is brilliant. And I think he really did showcase what a community can do, no matter what size of club you are, whether you're the size of us with a 48,000, sorry, seat stadium or Accrington where you've got 5,000. Community and everyone believing in the same thing just seems to have the right results, doesn't it? And I think that realistically is what we've loved since Stuart's come in. But I hope you enjoyed listening to him. I certainly did. As you can tell, I shut my mouth and let him speak because he was very enjoyable to listen to. Hopefully see some of you on Saturday. Come say hello if you do. I'm coming down by myself from Glasgow. Got a few friends that I'm meeting down there. But if any of you know my face, come say hello. I'm sporting a rather good-looking mustache at the moment, if I do say so myself. And thanks for checking in the Rugby Report Extra. Look after yourself, lads and lasses. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.